Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, March 23rd. Coming up today, with no new confirmed cases of meningitis linked to an outbreak in Canterbury, business bosses are hoping tourists will come back to the city.
There is no guidance to suggest that we should avoid coming out and about, but sadly and understandably, people are worried, and so we have seen a significant drop in footfall.
A British actor who you might recognise from The Crown has spoken about his fears for the future of Ashford Town Centre.
It seems to be a further systemisation of isolating the high streets and of isolating the town centre, which really began with the designer outlet.
And it's another disappointing result for Gillingham, who are having a tough run in League Two.
All I can say is that I've got to make changes, because there's players who same mistakes and same things over and over.
All of that still to come, so do stay with us. But first, taking a look at our top story for today. Tributes are being paid to a Kent police officer who died after being involved in a crash while responding to an emergency call near Swanley. PC Bradley Cork was critically injured on the A20 in Farningham on Thursday night and died on Saturday. The 27-year-old has been praised for his bravery, dedication and passion for helping others. An investigation into the collision is ongoing. Lucy's been speaking to reporter Sean Delaney, who's been following the story for Kent Online.
Sean, you've been at the scene of the crash this morning. Can you tell me what you saw in terms of tributes?
Yeah, so at the scene at this moment, lots of bouquets of flowers have been left at the scene. It's a very busy road just up by the junction of with the junction 3 for the M25 near Pedham Golf Course. But lots of flowers have been left there and lots of heartfelt tributes. Obviously, Bradley obviously meant a lot to lots of people there. Messages from colleagues. There was one that was left from his colleagues at Met Police as well as Kent Police as well. And we've also had a tribute statement come through from the chair of the Police Federation, Neil Menny, who'd said, "We were absolutely heartbroken to learn of this news. Bradley was a popular colleague who will be much missed, and we'll be doing all we can to support his family and close colleagues at this time. Policing is a family, and words cannot describe the pain we're all feeling and how this news will affect us in the days, weeks and months ahead. This sad incident serves as a horrific example of the risks police officers face and how police officers can sadly make the ultimate sacrifice as they strive to keep the public safe."
And what do we know about the crash itself? And I understand another officer was also injured.
Yeah, so we're still trying to find out all of the details at the moment, ascertain. So obviously one police was fatally injured, another seriously injured also, and also we believe a member of the public as well. Police are still obviously investigating and looking into this incident, and yeah, we'll find out more information as we can.
And I understand police are asking people not to leave tributes on that busy A20 road where the crash happened.
Yes, obviously, as previously mentioned, it's a very busy area right near junction 3 for the M25 and near the golf course. There's not really an accessible location there. So they were asking people to go to Tonbridge Police Station to leave any further tributes to Bradley this afternoon.
You can read more about this by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, a Folkestone woman who stabbed her friend in the chest with a kitchen knife has avoided being sent to prison. Roxanne Sweeney attacked Lewis Barnes following a row outside her flat on Rendezvous Street on Boxing Day in 2023. She tried to tell police his injuries had been self-inflicted. The 32-year-old was convicted of unlawful wounding and given a suspended sentence. She'll also have to complete rehab sessions and do unpaid work. A Gravesend man who sexually assaulted a woman as she got out of a jacuzzi has been banned from all spas. Sarbjit Hundle touched her inappropriately at Signet Leisure Centre in Northfleet last April. The 54-year-old from Rutan Road has been given a suspended sentence and placed on the sex offenders register. An e-bike rider has been taken to hospital following a crash involving a bus in Thanet. Police, paramedics and the air ambulance were called to Canterbury Road in Westgate yesterday evening. The rider suffered injuries which are not thought to be life-threatening. A coroner has launched an investigation following the death of a man who drank water he wasn't supposed to have been given at Medway Maritime Hospital. A glass was left next to Walter Pollen despite his notes saying he had difficulty swallowing and shouldn't be given any food or drink by mouth. The 67-year-old was taken to intensive care and died from pneumonia after liquid got into his lungs. The NHS Trust has been given until May to set out what action's been taken to prevent it happening again in future.
Kent Online News.
A person's been cut free from the wreckage of a crash on Bluebell Hill near Maidstone. Police and firefighters were called after three cars collided yesterday evening. The person was looked after by paramedics. Three people have been treated for the effects of breathing in smoke following a blaze at a house in Chatham. Four fire engines were sent to Kingston Crescent in the early hours of this morning. The cause is believed to be accidental. A young seal has been rescued from a beach on Sheppey following reports of children throwing stones at it. The animal was spotted at Minster Lees yesterday afternoon. Wildlife experts were called and they moved him to a quieter part of the coast where he was safely released after being checked over by a medical team. A clean-up operation has been carried out in Margate after a blocked drain left raw sewage spilling onto a road. Cars were seen driving through the mess on Fort Hill yesterday. Southern Water say they were called out to remove a blockage in the sewer and got rid of all the waste. Now, business bosses in Canterbury hope the enthronement of the new Archbishop this week will encourage more people into the city following the meningitis outbreak. Footfall around the city has dropped by around 30% of what would normally be seen at this time of year. However, there's no health guidance suggesting visitors should stay away. Lisa Carlson is the Chief Executive of Canterbury Business Improvement District. She's been speaking to Nicola.
Well, I mean, it's been a beautiful spring week. Absolutely gorgeous weather, but with, of course, fewer people than we would have hoped for this time of year. And understandably, because it's been an incredibly sad and stressful time for our community, and we need to be respectful of how people are feeling and keeping up with, of course, all the kind of medical guidance. But there is no guidance to suggest that we should avoid coming out and about. But sadly and understandably, people are worried. And so we have seen a significant drop in footfall of probably around 25-30% to what we would normally expect this time of year. And we're in the run up to Easter holidays. We normally see quite a few school groups and others coming through, and there have been cancellations. And so that, you know, puts a real strain on the business community and it also on their staff. So that's just really challenging.
Obviously, it is a university city. We don't know how things are going to play out over the next couple of days. We obviously hope that the number of cases stops rising now and that all those in hospital obviously get much, much better. And the nighttime economy for Canterbury is incredibly important. When do you think things like that might start to improve? Or is it just hard to say? When do you think students will be coming back? Obviously, they're going on Easter break. So could it be that maybe after Easter, things start to get a bit more back to normal?
Yeah, I think if you're a teenager or university student, you are naturally going to be apprehensive because you probably have known someone or known of someone who was affected. So it's much more just about that kind of a feeling. And as you say, our university students, for the most part, will be returning home soon or have done because of the Easter break. And so we are on the cusp of about to welcome the new Archbishop of Canterbury on Sunday with the installation service on Wednesday. And I hope that gives a sense of joy, a sense that, you know, people can come out and about. And I think if we see that visually, it will just help everyone. And I do think with a situation like this, time really helps. And so as the medical situation eases, we hope, I think that will give people comfort as vaccinations roll out, that will give people comfort. And then we can just give our students and young people a bit of space. And then for the rest of us, we can just see that it's a safe place to come out. But I think time is important, but also seeing it for ourselves.
Yeah, the eyes of the world really are going to be on Canterbury on Wednesday. Are you looking forward to it? A lot of dignitaries going to be there. And as you say, the Archbishop is making her way on foot to Canterbury as we speak.
It's just going to be a very exciting time to welcome the first female Archbishop of Canterbury and one who's making that, you know, pilgrimage on foot from London. So arriving into the city on Sunday, it's a very historic moment. I think there'll be a sense of excitement and joy. There will be a lot of people around, also bishops and friends and family. So we look forward to welcoming them to the city. We hope they enjoy the city. It will be a quick trip because, of course, many of them will have to get back to their own churches for Palm Sunday. But we expect people to be around between about the 24th and the 26th. And it will just be a lovely opportunity to welcome them. And of course, you know, we will then have Sarah Mullally with us as Archbishop. So there'll be, I hope, a lot of opportunity to welcome her and celebrate this moment, to celebrate, you know, the stories of women in the cathedral, women in Canterbury. There's a lot to look forward to.
Dame Sarah Mullally will be installed as the new leader of the Church of England at a ceremony on Wednesday. It says there are no new cases of meningitis in Kent linked to the outbreak in Canterbury. Figures remain as they were yesterday, with 20 confirmed cases and another 9 under investigation.
Kent Online News.
One of the stars of TV's Strike and The Crown has said he fears for the future of Ashford Town Centre. Tom Burke, who grew up there and still lives nearby, says the area is suffering an identity crisis. He first spoke about the demolition of Park Mall and is now worried about plans for Elwick Place, where the borough council's hoping to create a family attraction with a bowling alley and indoor mini golf.
It seems to be a further systemisation of isolating the high street and of isolating the town centre, which really began with the designer outlet, which is really quite a remove from the town centre. Both places, interestingly, are self-contained. This Elwick Place leisure complex has been sold on its day, all-day experience as its chief kind of characteristic and positive. Again, these are reasons for people not to see the high street, not to see the real Ashford. And I hope there's a certain amount we can do without the council's help. But of course, it would be great to have them on our side. I think it's quite a complex issue, and I don't know if they realise how complex it is. I think it's illustrating something quite cultural, actually. The words they've used to describe why Matches was out of step, that it was that it could get quite lively. When so many people of every generation have commented on what a safe place this was for families. To me, these are euphemisms for a kind of working class culture that sets them on edge for whatever reason. I expect because they're somewhat cocooned in their various lives.
Several of Kent's district and borough councils have signalled support for a campaign to change the county's blue badge system. There have been calls for people with short-term illnesses like cancer to be eligible for the scheme so they can park closer to shops and facilities while receiving treatment. Every MP in Kent is backing the petition, but there's disagreement between the county council and smaller local authorities on who should be responsible for introducing it. Plans for a new 24-hour Starbucks drive-through at Ashford Retail Park have been given the go-ahead following an appeal. The application was initially rejected due to concerns about the loss of parking spaces at the site in Sevington. The decision's now been overturned by the Planning Inspectorate. There are calls for Ashford Skate Park to be resurfaced following claims the condition of the ground is causing nasty injuries. Skateboarders have described it as being like a cheese grater, with children as young as 5 coming away with cuts and scrapes if they fall over. Shasanta Ray is a skateboarder who uses Ashford Skate Park. He says there are a number of issues.
First of all is the ground. It's very sharp, it's serrated. Every time we fall, the cuts are very deep. It's also having an effect on our performances when we're skating or these kids are scootering. And it also can kind of lower your confidence when you're skating here because you're worrying about the dangers of cutting yourself when it shouldn't be like that. It should be nice and smooth surface. I would like to have more communication with the council and just sit in a meeting and just discuss things and how we can go about improving this park bit by bit. I'm not saying do it all at once. We can work on the park, you know, start from the back and then slowly work our way up.
Council bosses say the site next to the Stour Centre has been inspected and deemed safe to use. They're urging people to wear protective equipment to avoid getting hurt. Aldi has submitted plans to build a second store in Herne Bay. Bosses want to spend £7 million on a new supermarket next to David Lloyd and Sainsbury's at Altira Park. It's set to create up to 40 jobs.
Kent Online News.
A Kent mum has become a mental health nurse in the team that once cared for her when she was pregnant. Tanisa Nixon suffered bipolar and psychotic episodes while expecting her fourth child. She received care from the Kent and Medway Mental Health NHS Trust perinatal support team. The 45-year-old then spent 4 years training so she could join the unit to help other women. She and I were able to sit down for a chat.
So I worked in banking. So I'd always worked in banking. So yeah, that it was a complete shock. Being a nurse was never part of the plan. It was working in mental health was never part of the plan. I was a patient. I was a service user that used a service that kind of kept me well. But after the care that I got from the perinatal community team, I just wanted to tell one other mum that they would be okay, that this guilt that they're feeling, that because I, you know, it didn't just happen to me, it happens to a lot of people, but actually, and we keep it quiet, it's quite a stigma. So we, you know, it's the most natural thing in the world for women. We should be doing this, no problem. We should know what's coming, we should know how to do it. But sometimes it doesn't go that way, and it's not our fault. It's just one of those things, and that actually there is care out there, and you will get better, and that you will recover, because recovery is possible. And it's not your future. It doesn't define who you are. Although in that moment, you just think, this is my life now. This is, I've messed this up. This is who I am now. This is how I'm judged. This is how I'm seen. And it's not, it's a blip. It's a very small part of your life. And I wanted to tell just one other mum. So I contacted the service that saved my life and asked them if I could come and just talk to another mum. Is there something I could do to give back? And they had just got the money to open a new mother and baby unit and asked me to come on board and help design it. So I did. So that meant interviewing staff, writing policies and procedures, and just being that mum, that representative of a mum and a baby on the board of directors, and just reminding everybody this is what we're doing it for mums of the future. And that was lovely. And then it got under my skin. I wanted to see the unit working. I needed to know it was just as we had imagined. So I became a peer support worker here. And 2 years into doing that, I was asked if I wanted to do my nursing. And 4 years later, I finished at university and became a staff nurse at Rosewood. So for the very service that helped me. So yeah, it's been wonderful.
Do you find that there's a different reaction once you explain to them, or if you tell them that you were once a user of the service, do they suddenly go, I'm going to be all right, there's a mum here that knows what she's talking about? The fact that you do have that lived experience gives you that extra edge.
Their shoulders drop. Instantly, their shoulders drop. And you don't always need to tell them. I think just the knowing wink, there's a knowing nod that, you know, I'm in your tribe. I've been here, you know. So there is that. It's very non-judgmental, my care. I work alongside these mums. I can sit in the darkness with them until it passes. And I hold hope for them, because they are going to get better. I know they can't live here. This isn't how their life is going to be. They will go on and they take over the world. These mums are my heroes, because in their darkest moments, they're fighting for their families. They're fighting to be the best mum that they can be. And if you just give them a little piece of your life, and I just let them know that I do know how it feels. I don't know how they feel, but I do know that they're going to get better. And I know that this is just a blip. Their shoulders do drop. They do feel they can say these things, these horrible thoughts that they're having. They can say it without judgment, like I once did to a nurse. I did that and everything was okay. And I just do the same. I do the same. I know no different. I know they're going to be okay. I know that they might feel now that this is who they are, but I'll hold that hope and let them know that recovery is possible. And it's just a blip. It's okay.
A village school near Hythe is celebrating a glowing Ofsted report highlighting impressive pupil performance and behaviour. Lim Church of England Primary has been rated as achieving a strong standard across all areas following a visit by the inspectors in February. That's the second highest possible outcome under the watchdog's new grading framework. And Sittingbourne Library is set to reopen today following a revamp. Family hub services have been added to the site in Central Avenue, which has been closed for works since November. Visitors will now be able to take part in community activities, register births, and access support for children and young people.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's 4 defeats in a row for Gillingham following a 2-1 loss at home to Bristol Rovers over the weekend. The Gills had taken the lead early on before the away side scored 2 second half goals. Boss Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team after Saturday's game.
Two totally different halves, you know. We get applauded off at half time because the effort and the play. And then we don't defend a corner after the first minute of the second half. You know, we defend it really bad. Another set piece. I'm trying to work on these set pieces. I've got people who we work on them daily to say, right, we've conceded too many set plays. And we do it again. And all I can say is that I've got to make changes, because there's players who, same mistakes and same things over and over. And that's terrible. And then the second goal is just comical, really, defending, you know. It's terrible. There's a man offside, and the rule's a bit crazy because Armani tries to win the header because he knows there's a man offside, but he knows there's a man behind him. He doesn't know he's offside, but he knows there's a man behind him. He's offside, but because Mans touches the ball, he now becomes onside with this second phase rule, and that causes mayhem. But then we have to react better. Jake's made two great saves, but comical defending, you know, and that really knocks the stuffing out of me. It's the same thing. The club, you know, it's a couple of year after year, we just fall away at the second half of the season. We've got to be better. We have to be better. First half, we played some good stuff, picked the second balls up. We looked dangerous. We had some free-flowing play. Second half, they went forward, got a corner and scored off the corner. So there's not a new formation that killed us or anything. It was because you're a minute into the second half. You just have to defend the corner properly. And we didn't. We didn't do it. And I pull my hair out on defending set pieces. We have conceded way too many. We've scored quite a lot of set pieces this season, but we've conceded more. And we've scored a lot. So think about how many we've conceded. That's too many, way too many. If we keep doing that, and we've got big players in the team, but it's just belief and cuteness and game knowledge and game understanding that we lack, you know. But yeah, I got to go and make sure that we do get players who are good at game understanding, who are good at the cute things and can defend set pieces. That's where I am.
And staying with football, Crawley Town have sacked their management team ahead of this weekend's game against Gillingham. Boss Scott Lindsay and assistant Neil Smith, who are both former Gills players, have been dismissed after a 10-game winless run. Crawley will host Gillingham this coming Saturday, with both sides looking for a much-needed victory. And that's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.